ॐ सहना भवतु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ विश्वं दर्पण दृश्यमाननगरी तुल्यं निजाम्बरगतम् पश्यन्नात्मनि मायया बहिर्वोद्भूतं यथा निद्रया यः साक्षात् कुरुते प्रबोधसमये स्वात्मानमेवाद्वयम् तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमिदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये बीजस्यान्तरिबाङ्करो जगरिजं पाणिर्विकल्पं पुनः माया कल्पितदेशकालकलनावैचित्र्यचित्रीकृतम् मायावीव विजृम्भयत्यपि महायोगीव यस्वैच्छया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये यस्यैव स्फुरणं सदात्मकमसत्कल्पार्थकं भासते साक्षात्तत्त्वमसीति वेदवचसा यो बोधयाश्रितान् यत्साक्षात्करणात्तदेन पुनरावृत्तिर्भवाम्भो निरौ तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये नानाच्छिद्रकठोदरस्थितमहादीपप्रभास्वरम् ज्ञानं यस्य चक्षुराधिकरणद्वारा बहिः सन्दते जानामीति तमेव भान्तमनुभात्येतत्समस्तं जगत् तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये देहं प्राणमपीन्द्रियाण्यपि चलां बुद्धिं च शून्यं विदुः श्रीबालाण्डजोपमास्त्वहमिति प्राणादृशं वादिनः मायाशक्तिविलासकल्पितमहाव्यामोहसंहारिणे तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये वाहुरस्तदिवाकरेण्यसदृशः मायासमाच्छादनात् सन्मात्रकरणोपसंहरणतो यो भूत्सुषुप्तपुमान् प्रागस्वाप्समिति प्रबोधसमये यत्प्रत्यभिज्ञायते तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये
बाल्यादिष्वति जाग्रदादिषु तथा
बाल्यादिष्वपि जाग्रदादिषु तथा
सर्वास्वस्तास्वपि
सर्वास्वस्तास्वपि
व्यावृत्तास्वनि वर्तमानमहम्
यत्यन्तस्फुरन्तं
सदा स्वात्मानं प्रकृति करोति भजतां यो मुद्रया भद्रया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदम् श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये
तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नमः इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये
I know, it's the same one.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, fix that. Okay. Let's break the sending. Balya. Everybody? Balya. Adi.
Valya Adi. I'm sorry. Valya Adishu Api. Yeah, Adishu. Valya Valyadishu Valya Adishu. Adishu is located plural. Valyadishu Api. Jagrat Adishu. Jagrat Adishu. Breaking a compound here, Jagrat Adishu, right? Tata Sarvasu Avastasu Api Vyavrita Vyavritasu Anuvartamanam Aham Iti Antas Spurantam Sada Swatmanam 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 Prakriti Prakati Karoti Bhajatam Yaha Mudraya Bhadraya Tasmai Shri Guru. That's a long Mu there. You see that? That's a mistake. It should be shorter. Gosh. Shri Guru, both short. Guru. Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina, fix that, short E, Dakshi, Dakshina. What's that Dakshino? This thing is a disaster. This needs real help, okay.
But it's the same as the one on the
yeah. No, but no, it's a, this one
it's
says.
Meant to be.
Yeah, this is different. It's got two.
It should be
two Dakshina.
We could just take the one on the We could just take the one on the
I must have been tired, yeah. Take the. I'll fix this at the break, even. I'll fix it. It'll only take me a minute. But it's getting time to print out a whole new thing, you know, like the Saturday class manual. I do go through and fix all of them, but that Saturday class manual has everything, you know, that has the nice little picture on it.
Yeah.
They'll have everything updated. So. Oh, okay. Sri Dakshina Murti. Okay, let's go through the word meaning. First of all, I want you to notice that there's a whole list of locative plurals. Mm-hmm. You see that? Shu, all the shus? Mm-hmm. Shu, shu, su, su. Okay. So, balya means childhood.
Oh, yeah.
That ya is like the twa or ta. Mm-hmm. Remember that ya? There's three ways of making an abstract, and one is the adding of the ya, and often it'll elongate. So, balya, bala means child, balya, childhood. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, when you say balya, childhood, etc., Balyadi, that which begins with childhood, and so then you say childhood, teenage years, you know, young person. Yeah. Like, so you take it all through, beginning with childhood, then you take all the stages of life in terms of age. So, api can just mean and or also. So, balyadishu. Do you need that computer?
No, he has
that. Because nobody's on this. You can use it, Arjun, if you want to.
Okay.
Just take it up around that so that you still have. See what I mean? That cord?
All around. Okay. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
Do you want him to charge it? Just keep it charged.
Well, you don't have to, but I just thought you might need to. Do you want the mouse?
No, I don't.
Oh. Yeah,
sorry.
It's all right. We love it. Also, balyadishu. Then the upi can just be like and here because they do the next one. Jagrat adishu. So jagrat means the waking state, and with the adi, it means beginning with the waking state. That'll bring in the dream state and the deep sleep state. So this is very common in Sanskrit. They'll give the first of a set. The first word of a set, and then say adi, and that adi means it'll include the whole set. You know, like they'll do chakshuradi. Even their chakshu is not the first, it's really the ears, shrotradi, but they usually say chakshuradi, means beginning with the eyes, and then that includes all of the sense organs, that type of thing. So here you have beginning with, in childhood, etc., in the waking state, etc., tata, similarly, Sarvasu, Avastasu. Sarvasu is locative singular in all. Locative plural, I mean. Mm-hmm. Sarvasu, locative plural. Avastasu. Okay? In all avastas. Avastas are states of experience. So the avastas, usually when we say the teaching methodology called Avastha Trayasakshi. That's a teaching, that's a prakriya, teaching methodology. It's a teaching methodology that differentiates the sakshi from all three of avastas. So if you say Avastha Traya, the three avastas, the three states of experience, right? The sakshi of the three states of experience. That's a teaching prakriya. So here when he says Sarvasu Avastasu, in all of the avastas. So here's an example. Like, for instance, the states of experience, the states from being a childhood to middle age to old age, etc.
They call those states, huh?
Yeah, he's expanding up because they're a state of experience. Usually when we say avastha, the avastas, they're referring to the waking dream and deep sleep. But avastha is a general term also as a state of experience. So they're giving two things here. So balyadi shu in the childhood, etc., and similarly in the waking dream deep sleep, jagradi shu tata, similarly. So in all avastas, sarvasu avastasu, you don't need all of these uppies here, but they're fillers, you know. Vyavritasu, they all, in all of these avastas, which are vyavritasu, means that they're incompatible with each other. When you're a child, you're not middle-aged. When you're in the waking state, you're not in the dream state, right? And so all of these states of experience negate each other. When the one is, the other is not. When you're awake, you're not a dreamer, you're not a deep sleeper. When you're young, you're not old. So they're incompatible with each other. They negate each other. So in all of these states of experience, such as childhood, etc., and waking, etc., vyavritasu, which negate each other, which are incompatible with each other, anuvartamanam aham. Now, anuvartamanam is a technical term. We also use the term anuvritti. It means that which exists continually. So even though all of these states negate each other, there's something that continues through all of the states. That's called anuvritti. Or anuvartamanam is a present participle, means that which is existing, all the follow. That which is existing, literally, it means it's following after, following along with each state. Where, in terms of each state of experience, one negates the other, but there's something that goes through, that follows through. That's anuvritti, or anuvartamanam. So here it says, aham iti, antaspudanantam. Let's do the antaspudanantam. Anta, or antar, means within. Spudantam, shining. Right? That which is shining within. So it would be aham iti, that which is shining within as aham, as I. Sada, that which is always shining within, antar, spurantam. Spurantam again is a present participle. That which is always shining within, as I, which is, which has continuance, which flows through all of the avastas themselves, which themselves contradict each other. Everybody see? So, we have to go farther before we can put this all together. Swatmanam. By the way, anuvartamanam, aham, spurantam, ahamiti spurantam, these are in accusatives. So we need a verb. Okay. Sada is indeclinable. So you have this string of locatives with the api, tata, and api as indeclinables. So a string of locatives. Then anuvartamanam, accusative singular, aham in quotes.
Aham is not, is also accusative singular.
They're putting the aham in quotes, right? And so, as aham.
Okay.
So, shining, so that which is shining inside as aham, which is anuvartamanam, which flows through, which is, exists in all of the incompatible avastas. Mm-hmm. Okay. Swa-atmanam, accusative singular, one's own self. Prakati karoti. In fact, in our Friday class, this particular construction is, they're going to talk about it in this, in our new chapter. Prakata means to manifest, manifestation. Prakati karoti, to make manifest, to reveal, right? To make known, to make seen, to reveal. So, yaha prakati karoti, he who reveals one's own self, swatmanam prakati karoti, bhajatam, to his devotees, to those who are his devotees, bhajatam.
His students?
Yeah. For his students. Yaha, he who reveals for his, to his students, one's own self. That bhajatam is a present participle in the locative, in the genitive plural, like ramanam, bhajatam, for his devotees, for his students. He who, mudraya, badraya, two instrumental singulars, mudraya, badraya, by the auspicious mudra. This, and remember, Dakshinamurti has this chin mudra. Mm-hmm. By this Bhadra mudra, this one. By means of this auspicious mudra.
What does mudra mean? Is that
it's a hand symbol. A symbol made with a hand. I don't know what else you would say.
Okay.
These are called mudras. There's many different mudras.
Yeah, and dance.
In dance there's many mudras, but these mudras are all very well known. They all have a meaning. And this is the mudra that, like that. Does everybody know what this mudra means? Where this is the body, mind, sense organs, for the jiva. This is the ahankara. And so this is Brahman. And so this is Brahman. So usually the ahankara, the I, is attached to the body, mind, sense organs. Through Dakshinamurti makes you understand that this ahankara is Brahman, is the self of the whole creation. So by means of the chin mudra, by this very auspicious mudra.
Can you say again about bhajatam? You said bhajatam is a
present participle.
Present participle.
From bhajatam in the genitive singular, okay. Plural image, like ramanam, bhajatam, gachatam.
Okay.
So he reveals this swatman, one's own self. And the bhajatam has the sense of like for his devotees, but genitive is often used that way. For his devotees. He who, by means of instrumental, this auspicious mudra. So salutations to Sri Dakshinamurti, who's in the form of the teacher, my teacher is the idea. Salutations to Lord Dakshinamurti, who is in the form of my teacher. It's one way it's often taken. Salutations to him who reveals the nature of one's own self to his students, to his devotees, by means of the chin mudra, by means of the auspicious mudra. That self, okay, so now take the swatmanam as the accusative. He who reveals one's own self, which is always shining within. Now go to the antaspurantam as adjectival to swatmanam. And we're going to read backwards. He reveals the swatmanam, one's own self, which is antaspurantam sada. So now you've got an accusative with an indeclinable, which is always shining within, aham iti, as I. Okay? Then, now another accusative singular, which is anuvartamanam, which continues, has continuance, is continuance. In sarvasu avastasu vyavritasu, in all of the states of experience, which themselves are vyavrita, negate each other. They're not, when one is, the other is not. However, the Atma is there in all of these states of experience, which themselves negate each other. This experience is here, negated by this experience, such as childhood, etc., such as in childhood, right? And such as in the waking dream, deep sleep. Everybody see? So, this particular prakriya teaching methodology is a really it's really important, because you can actually it's just pointing at an experiential fact. The experiential fact is that as one experience replaces another, even in terms of vrittis, in terms of everything, actually one vritti replaces another vritti. You go to waking dream and deep sleep, and bigger states of experience, where the waking state is replaced by the dream state, is replaced by the deep sleep state. But you can even go, this vritti is replaced by this vritti, is replaced by this vritti. But there's a continuance of my being. My being isn't replaced by one vritti doesn't replace my being. One avastha doesn't replace my being. My being has that continuance, that anuvritti, you know, in every avastha. And so it's very easy in terms of teaching to point this out, right? You can even point it out in terms of, you know, in terms of time, in terms of past, present, and future. It doesn't make any difference. In anything in the creation that changes, you have an anuvritti. You are an anuvritti that is present to those changing conditions, even though the changing conditions negate each other. So it's an important methodology.
That's so obvious until... It's not obvious until it's pointed out, and then it's so obvious.
It's so obvious until you get swept away by your mind. Then you have to point it out to yourself again.
Yeah.
Anuvritti means what again?
Anuvritti or anuvartamanam, they're both from the same root. Mm. It means that which has a continuance, means it is present, even though you have, when the state of experience negates this next, the self isn't negated by any of these differing states of experience. And that means the self has what they call continuance. Not that it's changing, it's present to everything that changes, itself not changing. And so we call it an anuvritti, that when you teach that, do you see how the waking state is negated by the dream state, including the waking body, the waking sense organs, the waking mind, is totally replaced by the dream world, the dream body, the dream mind. But what isn't replaced is the self, so that you can say the one who was dreaming is the one who is awake. Right? That means that there's an anuvritti, there's a continuance of my being. You can say the one who is a little child, I who was a little child, is now an adult. But the little child isn't here anymore. The physical little child isn't here anymore. It's replaced by this adult. But the one who is an adult is the one who is the little child. So there's a continuance, even though the little child is negated by the adult. Right? Or the little child, the teenager, the adult, the elder.
So it's the same showing up the whole time.
Yeah. And that Atma, one's own self, is shining within as the I. I am this, I am that, I am that, I am that. The I is the ahankara, really. The I is the ahankara that labels the self in reference to each one of these states of experience. You see?
So anuvritti means that which...
Continues through. The one who continues through all states of experience.
The one who continues. Mm-hmm.
Is it related to vritti at all? To, you know, like the mental vritti?
Right.
Vritti, it probably is related, but remember that when we use the word vritti, the whole phrase is antakarana vritti, and that we translate it as a thought modification. But vritti actually means activity. Mm-hmm. You know, that which is active, that which is changing, that type of thing. And so with anuvritti,
subtle, right?
Anu means like to follow. Like if I say anugacchati,
right,
it means I go after, I follow after you. Mm-hmm. And so here maybe anuvritti anuvartamanam is the one that, you know, follows along. Mm-hmm. It's not negated. Mm-hmm. But mm. Vartamanam also, you know, is the sixth gana, rit. It also means to exist.
Or present.
To be present to, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like asti means is, in the sense of I am. Bhu, bhavati means is, in the sense more, in the sense of becoming, though you can use is. Vartamana, or vartate, means to remain, to stay, to be present in a given place, but also means is. So here, anuvritti, you know, anuvartamanam, means that which is following after. It doesn't get negated. Yeah. Good, clear on this?
I was just wondering, in terms of that he's using both the states, the waking, dreaming, sleeping state, and the childhood state, is he referring to time, or to the gross versus the subtle, or, I mean, that...
I think it's just looking at avastas in different ways. Time and change are, in a sense, the same thing. Without any change, there's no time. And so, is there something which withstands change? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. And so you can bring in time there, because there can't be change without time, right? And so you can say that which withstands, or time, that which is the present to past, present, and future without itself being negated, that which is present to any change. Because once you bring in change, the prior condition is no longer there. And so if you belong to the avastha, if you belong to the state of experience, then when that state of experience is gone, you are gone. Right? So if you're not gone, then you can differentiate what that about you which does not go versus that which does go. That's why the waking, dream, deep sleep state is so important, because in the waking state, you have a body, mind, sense organs, which exists within a world, the waking world. So there's the waker within the waking world. But when you go to the dream state, you still are, but the body, mind, sense organs, and waking world are not there. They're replaced by another body, mind, sense organs, subtle body, mind, sense organs, and dream world. But yet there's an anuvritti of my being, right? My being follows, tags along. It isn't replaced. But your body is. Your sense organs are. You know, everything is, really. The mind is. Everything within Maya is replaced. And so, but there's something that's not. And so that becomes a teaching method, important teaching methodology. So if you go, like one route of using these teaching methodologies that, I think Swamiji is a little different now, but the route he used to take was Drisha Viveka, differentiating in this waking state the seer from the seen, until you get to the Sakshi, and then the Sakshi is eliminated, because there's no, you know, when you objectify the body, the mind, the sense organs, even the Ahankara, you're left with you, with consciousness. And when you're at the level of the mind, you talk of the Atma as the Sakshi, because you need to be able to say something in terms of the differentiating the mind and the Ahankara from consciousness. But once that differentiation is made, then the Sakshi, the witnessing nature of the Atma, is eliminated from its own standpoint, because there are no sense organs or mind or any instruments of knowing for consciousness.
It seems like the Sakshi has to be used because if you're not designating orders of reality, because you're trying to keep things on the same order and say, yes, but there's this other sort of thing taking place where in actuality the Sakshi goes away because the witness is another order of reality. I mean,
in a sense, that's right. But, I mean, I would say it like this. When you're doing the seer-seen differentiation, right, drisha-viveka, when you're doing that, you're taking the objectification, subject-object objectification, as far as it can go, right? Mm-hmm. So you start out by saying the sense organs, you know, the sense organs are aware of the body. But then the mind is aware of the sense organs. So we're still really within Maya. Okay. But then you say, the who is aware of the mind?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we say the Atma. Because from the standpoint of the mind recognizes that it is known, that the thoughts are known. And so you have to be able to differentiate the knower from the known. So we're following that same knower, known, knower, known, knower, known. So you have to, once you get to the everything objectified, even the ahankara and all relationships and even ajnanam, all of these things are objectified. Then when you look at, having objectified all of Maya, in fact, then you look at the nature of what you had called the sakshi, and you realize it is not a participant in this, because all of the sense organs and all of the means of knowledge have been objectified. And so they depend upon you, upon consciousness, but consciousness is not involved in them performing any act. And so this, you realize the sakshitvam goes away. It was just useful, you know, in terms of making this differentiation. So once that sakshi goes away, if we want to go to another, we can go to Ishvara from that point, but we can also go, once the sakshi has been removed and you just recognize your consciousness, you can move into that avastatraya sakshi, where you now look at that same sakshi who is just me, pure awareness. Now you look at it in terms of the waking, dream, and deep sleep state. Because then you, it just nails the coffin in a way for that identification, because you see that, that from the standpoint of the waking state, you've just made the differentiation. But now you realize again that the waking state itself, including the body, mind, sense organs, which we've just differentiated, is itself not even experienced in the dream state. You are still there, but not as the waking body, mind, sense organs, or waking world. You are still there, but you've taken another body, or no body at all. You're just illumining the, you know, the dream world without any identification. And then you go to the deep sleep state, and that nails this, the fact that it's not a knower, and it has nothing to do with anything that's objectified within Maya, nor, and the knowership itself is removed. Mm-hmm. It's removed anyway in the Driksha Viveka, but it just shows it in a different light. And you see yourself as being continuous in all of the three states of experience. So the first thing, it almost goes like this way. Body, mind, sense organs. Left with the self, which is no longer a sakshi. And then it goes this way. Waking state, dream state, deep sleep state, nothing happens. And so it's just approaching the whole Driksha in a way from a different angle. You see? And so then once that becomes kind of understood, then you look at what is the nature of your being then to the whole creation. And now you have, what you're going to have is a drishtanta. An illustration of the dream illustration becomes very useful, because it's easy for you to see yourself, the consciousness, as the self of the dream, because it's subjective, right? But in the same way, what's to make it different in terms of the waking state? Because in both instances, the body, mind, sense organs belong to the Maya, in the dream Maya or in the waking state Maya. The body, mind, sense organs belong to the Maya, to the creation, whether it be waking state or dream state. That leaves yourself as undifferentiated by time or space or objectivity. And so then what causes yourself, you know, to be limited or to not be the self of the whole? What would be the limiting factor? There is no limiting factor. And so then you start going into the nature of this creation itself as being nothing but consciousness. You have to now go out and look at the whole thing. Look at Ishvara from the standpoint of the objects that you're experiencing. Are they objects? Is there any object here? Or are they just names within names within names? So that's just...
Well, that was really nice. You went through the entire...
Yeah. 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 For
for the millionth time.
No, but you went logically from, you know,
oh, yeah,
what Drishtanta first, next, and then the entire from 1880 to everything.
Yeah, yeah, because see, so nice. With Vedanta, it is a teaching methodology. You know, there's step by step. You can't say this until you say this, and you can't say this until you say this, because they have no idea. But see, if the Upanishads aren't understood as a pramana, means a means of knowledge to make the student see without doubt the nature of reality. That's what it is. It's a teaching methodology, a means of knowledge to make the student see without doubt the nature of reality. Now, if the student doesn't see it without doubt, then it's just a belief. Like the teacher can come and say, you know, you really are Ananda. Don't worry about anything. You're Ananda. Be happy. This isn't real. Just be happy. That's all true, but it's not a teaching methodology. Right? It's just, okay, I'm supposed to be happy because this isn't real. Oh, that sounds good. Let's do that. But there's no knowledge, you know?
So it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen in any real way. It's something that you can practice, but you don't know what you're talking about. You know, and so the mind doesn't get any resolution.
This pure awareness, pure consciousness, does that have anything to do with experience when you're looking at pure consciousness? Is there that?
See, the pure consciousness is the self of all experience. Any experience that you have, what is pervasive in the very being of any experience that you have is consciousness. And so we can say words that we'll retract later, but you can say consciousness pervades all experience. Why I don't like pervades is because then there's an experience that's being pervaded that has a different reality. But if we're talking about Maya, where we have subject-object reality and we have something which is continually changing, you can talk about consciousness as that which pervades the Maya. But you have to retract that in a sense once you start looking at Maya itself and you realize it has no being apart from consciousness. But from the standpoint of the Maya, you can say, my own presence, my own being, which is not inert, it is consciousness. Mm-hmm. So it is its own experience. That's why we say it's swaprakasha. It's its own self-shining. It's not like this is all there and there's no one inside, you know, that there's a like an inert non-experience inside. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, Swamiji is so careful about using the word experience because experience is, we usually think of it, one experience is negated by another experience.
Yeah.
And yourself is never negated. And so yourself is the truth, the experiential truth, constant awareness, which is present as the very pervasive and the very being of all experience.
So you can talk about it as it being its own experience.
It's self-luminous.
It's self-luminous. That's the way it's...
It's self-luminous. Self-evident, like when we, that's a technical way of saying self-evident means it is self-established. And what that Swetha Siddha, what that means is for me to establish the existence of something in the creation, I need to use a pramana, like my sense organs or sense organs and mind, in order to establish its being. If I don't have any means of knowledge to establish the being of something, I have no idea. I have nothing I can say about it. So I need a pramana. I need to use a pramana to establish the existence of something within duality. Consciousness does not need a pramana to establish its existence. It is the existence. And that existence is self-established. It doesn't need to bring in another pramana to say, oh, this exists. In fact, if I get rid of the whole universe, its existence is self-shining. Right? There's nobody saying, if I get rid of the whole universe, there's nobody saying, oh, it really does exist. But
You know, but that's for the Ajnani to discover. Existence itself does not need anyone to say, I really do exist, because it is that existence. Just like a lamp doesn't have anybody to say it is a lamp. It is a lamp. But here we're talking about consciousness, right?
That's interesting.
I have a question about ignorance. I mean, if we say that Ishvara is everything, then Ishvara is also ignorance.
Not exactly. That is true, but ignorance is as mitya as everything else. Let me explain that a little bit. Ishvara doesn't have any ignorance. And the reason is, when we look at the maya, when this is just one way to go about it, but I think it's helpful. When the creation projects, for Ish, that's called vikshepa, the projection of the creation, right? For Ishvara, that is total. There's no limitation of mind or sense organs. The entire creation is viewed as manifest knowledge, so there's nothing unknown, because I'm the whole. But for a jiva within the manifest creation, that experience of the jiva is limited by the mind and sense organs of the jiva. Right? And so there, your knowledge is going to be limited. And from the standpoint of the mind enjoys consciousness, so the mind says, I'm a conscious being. You know, it gathers knowledge through the sense perception and then inference and presumption and the other means of knowledge we have available to us. And so it is as though shining its light on things within the creation and kind of accruing knowledge, right? But it's like a little finite speck accruing knowledge within an infinite creation, whereas Ishvara is the infinite creation. So the jiva upadhi itself, by its very nature, is forced into this position. Not for it, it's ignorance that's ignorant. Its situation requires it to be ignorant. There's no choice in it, because the mind itself and the sense organs are limited and time-bound. And so we say that for Ishvara, the manifestation of the creation, which is manifest knowledge, is just the maya, is just the vikshepa aspect of the maya is there, the projecting aspect. There's no what we call avanana. Avanana is the covering. So what is just maya and absolute knowledge for Ishvara is projection and avarna, covering for the jiva. Right? Because of the nature of the jiva with the antakarana and sense organs. So the jiva, we say, suffers from beginningless ignorance. It's beginningless because as long as the jiva is there, it's within the creation, it has mind and sense organs, and so its ignorance is beginningless. The thing about Ajnanam is that even though it's beginningless, it comes to an end with knowledge. You know?
So the jiva will always have ignorance of a lot of the maya.
But always. In other words, you're not going to have a vritti unless Krishna gives it to you like he did to Arjuna.
Oh.
You're not going to have a vritti of the Ishvara Swarupa, which is an infinite, through this mind and sense organs.
But knowledge is knowledge of who I am. That's it.
Knowledge that where you have a direct, immediate knowledge is the nature of yourself, right? Because the Atma is not subject to time or space. It's not subject to dimension. So it's not limited. The Atma is not limited by the mind or limitless by the Maya Upadhi, right? The Atma just is. So the Atma that you are in total, there is no really in total because there's no time or space involved, is the Atma which Ishvara is. Okay, now, if the self that you are is the self that Ishvara is, and you're not bound by any part of the Maya Upadhi, then the self that Ishvara, this whole creation comes from Ishvara, sustained by Ishvara, goes back into Ishvara. That you get from the Shruti, But logic and experience back that up. Because the mithyatva, the nature of the creation as being nothing but consciousness, also is direct immediate knowledge. Your experience of the creation. You can establish the mithyatva, means that there's nothing really here but consciousness, in reference to your little piece of experience. But the establishment of your little piece of experience is the establishment of the whole experience. So it's a, what do you call it? It's a, it's a logical extension. It's a logical extension that you really can't get around. So in the end you'll say, all of this is consciousness. Then what does the Shruti say about the nature of the whole? And that's where Ishvara comes in.
Okay, well, when we say something like there is no ignorance for Ishvara, mm-hmm. it's not as though Ishvara is apart from
no.
the ignorance. I mean, it's not like Ishvara is here and the, Ishvara, I mean, the whole sum total, whether it's the jiva's ignorance, which is part of Ishvara as well, right?
That's right, but look at it like this. You know, when we do like the meadow imagination, from your standpoint, that you are the self of the meadow, that the meadow comes from you, right. sustained by you, that you're the I, the right. conscious being of the meadow,
yeah.
is aproksha. It's known. There's no ajnanam there. But that same meadow, from the standpoint of the jivas within the meadow, there's ajnanam. So from on yeah. one side of the coin, there's no ajnanam from one perspective. On another side, there is the same maya. That is absolute knowledge, limitless knowledge for Ishvara, is limited knowledge for the jiva.
But when we say maya is limitless knowledge for Ishvara, it seems to separate Ishvara from maya.
No. Because then we have to go, and what is the relationship of maya to consciousness? Then there is no separation. That's satya mitya.
Say maya is Ishvara?
We would say, instead of saying maya is Ishvara, you should say Brahman is Ishvara. So if you say maya is Ishvara,
uh-huh.
then maya becomes like a prakriti, as though it's separate from Brahman. Brahman with the maya upadi mm-hmm. is Ishvara. Brahman with the maya upadi is Ishvara. So who is really Ishvara? Is Brahman. But why do we bring in the word Ishvara? Is to show that Brahman is the cell of this whole. And this whole is only maya. It has no being apart from Brahman. That's why you can say, I am Ishvara. Because the self that is the self of Ishvara is yourself. So you have to be able, and for Vedanta, you in the end, you have to be able to say, I am Ishvara.
Right. I think the reason I was asking is because of this notion of Ishvara that we grow up with.
Yeah.
And there's no separation between Ishvara and Maya to the extent... Of course, there's no separation between Maya and Brahman and Ishvara and Brahman either. But there is no... Maya is, like you said, you know, Maya and Ishvara are the same and they're both Brahman as well.
No, you would say, not that Maya and Ishvara are the same. It's say Ishvara is Brahman with Maya.
Yeah.
See, if you say Ishvara and Maya are the same, you're leaving out Brahman.
Well, knowing if you say Ishvara is Maya, knowing that the substrate is Brahman for...
Then you say Ishvara is Brahman with the whole Maya Upadi.
Mm-hmm. And from there, I think it's this idea of bhakti, which I always... You know, because Ishvara is not separate, and then the way we... Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think it goes into a whole separate... Yeah, I think I get it. That's fine.
Okay,
I'll ask you later.
Let's take a... Can we take our break now? Let's take a break. So we can do Rudram. Otherwise...
I know it will happen.
Repeat scenario.
A transition to Rudram.